Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by
Tony Woods.
Coming to the Birchmere, you all know him, on August 29th. Hey, Tony, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, man. This is a pleasure and an honor.
Now, where are you calling us from?
From beautiful Silver Spring.
Silver Spring, Maryland. And I know you
But check it out. It's called Silver Spring now, but it's really Aspen Hill.
Where have you grown? So yeah. You've grown up around DC your whole life?
Yeah, not my whole life. I was born in New York, and then lived in North Carolina until I was like maybe 10, and then we moved to DC, and then we moved out to suburbs, man, I think when I was like 12 or 13.
Gotcha.
And here up into Silver Spring, and then I went, went away to conquer the world and everything, but now I'm back and I'm right here in Aspen Hill. Well, it's Silver Spring. They call it Silver Spring now, but it used to be called Aspen Hill.
Well, we'll call it Aspen Hill for the rest of this interview then, because that's what it is.
Right on.
Is this your first gig back? I know you're coming to the Birchmere. Is this gonna be your first gig back since this whole COVID mess began?
It is, except for doing we might have in friends' backyards or something, but it's not like a show. It's just me and people I know. And somebody goes, hey, we got a stage, but it starts out as karaoke. and then it's always like, hey, Tony, you should tell some jokes like that. So yeah, it's just with friends and family, which is not the show that you do at a club.
Right. This will be the Birchmere on the 29th. It'll be like the first ticketed official event since. All right, cool.
Yeah. With no 2 year olds.
You don't have to water the jokes down for 2 year olds.
Yeah. No, it's not the 2 year olds you got to worry about. It's the 70 and 80 year olds you have to worry about.
Why is that?
I mean, because they're there too. Yeah. So.
Yeah, their ears are a little more sensitive than the toddlers.
Yeah, the toddlers don't know what's going on. They remember what's going on and repeat it at the wrong time. That's what they do.
Exactly. You gotta
I've always been a big fan of WTOP. Like, my first car was a Audi 100 LS, and it only had AM radio.
You remember listening to WTOP riding around your first car?
Yeah, WTOP, yeah. Because it was no cassette. There was no CDs at the time. It didn't have no cassette and no 8-track. I only had AM radio, buddy. So I had to listen to all the AM stations. WTOP is on FM now, but back then, do you guys still have an AM station?
Yeah, we have like a sister station, Federal News Radio, on AM, yep.
Yeah, but it was, I think at that time it was the main one.
Yeah, I think it was before they switched to FM. See, you go way back. You know the roots of TOP and everything, so.
Yeah, it was in Silver Spring, wasn't it?
I don't know, actually.
I think it was on Georgia Avenue. Yep, WTOP, right on Georgia, like when you come... When you cross over the line to come into Silver Spring on Georgia Avenue, and then you go under the bridge, and boom, WTOP was right there in an ice cream place called Gifford's.
Just don't mix up the two. Don't think we're on an ice cream station or something.
But you couldn't go into it because it was a ice cream place with two big polar bears outside, and the building, and it's right next to the firehouse in Silver Spring. You know the firehouse? It's a restaurant now, but it was an actual firehouse back then.
Wow.
Anyway.
What were the comedy clubs? What were the comedy clubs there then? Were there any in Silver Spring?
I don't know. I don't think it was ever in Silver Spring. Yeah. Before I was a comedian, I saw the comedy club was right there on Connecticut Avenue and Calvert Street. Yeah, Connecticut and Calvert Street. It's an Indian restaurant now, but I used to think, what do they talk about in there? Because they had pictures of like George Carlin and Richard Pryor and stuff like that. And so, but in my mind, I thought I can go in there and see them guys, but no, they, comedy clubs just put up the famous comedy. But I started at the Comedy Cafe on, where is it? On K Street, right there. It's at, K Street between 15th and 16th.
Okay. How old were you when you started? You did your first club show?
Maybe like 23.
All right. And so who were your, I mentioned Carlin and Pryor. Were those your comedy idols growing up, or was there anybody else?
No, it was really my uncles. I had two uncles named Uncle Jimmy. One on my mom's side, one on my dad's side. But for whatever reason, I just figured everybody named Jimmy must be super hilariously funny, because they were. and then as far as stand-up comedy, what's this guy named? Was it Jonathan Winters. Jonathan Winters was real. And you know, you see him on, like, when they, back then, they used to have, like, TV shows, like, Dean Martin's comedy special from the desert or whatever. And this guy would always do, like, a little skit. Like, they would film him just talking about something. He'd be, dressed up like an old lady, or either like a 49er. Not a 49er football player, everybody, but a 49er, like a guy who's looking for gold.
Yeah.
A prospector. But I didn't learn until years later that he's a stand-up comedian doing stand-up comedy. I'm like, well, I just thought he was a guy who happened to be crazy funny in different situations, you know? And then I'd say around 11 or 12 is when I found out that stand-up comedy was an art form, you know, because they had the Richard Pryor albums. We had Richard Pryor, Flip Wilson, Red Fox, what's the guy named? I can't think of his name. Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart. Bob Newhart.
Yeah.
they're both in the movie.
Yeah.
James Caan and everybody, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, Bob, these are the albums that we had. It was Bob Newhart, it was Flip Wilson, Red Fox, and Richard Pryor, and some Bill Cosby ones. And the only ones that they would let us listen to was Flip Wilson and Bob Newhart. So that's... And every blue moon, somebody will say, anybody ever tell you kind of remind me of Bob Newhart? I'm like, sometimes they do. Because before I even was Foxism. Antonio's father is a comedian. And it's just jokes for us. And it's just jokes for these five-year-olds. And I did that. You know, of course, I left out the weed and all that. I said, I went to Africa, but not Africa. I said, I stepped into the television. And oh my God, there was chaos. Cause this little girl goes, he can't do that. Nope, can't do that. Like it was like the whole class of, nope, we tried it. That is impossible. Back on K Street at the first club down at what's it called, the Comedy Cafe. It's Archibald's. It's, you know what Archibald's danceria is?
Yeah, with the pool tables.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, with the pool tables, yeah. Anyway, that place, the top floor, used to be a comedy club. And that's where I met. I can name some other people from there. Wanda Sykes started there. Tommy Davidson didn't start there, but he was there. You know, Martin Lawrence started there. Dave started there. A whole bunch of guys. Let me see. I'm sure Louis Black used to do comedy there. You know Louis Black?
Oh, yeah.
Patton Oswalt. Yeah, all the DC comedians.
Were you all roughly the same age, or did you sort of take them under your wing a little bit?
No, we were roughly the same age. Dave was younger, but everybody else was pretty much the same age. I think they were anyway.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure me and Patton, you know, if we didn't graduate the same year, we were in high school at the same time.
You know. Well, what's it like seeing, you know, you guys are all buddies just, you know, coming up together, but what's it like when you see, you know, Wanda and Dave and Martin and Patton, like you watch them all go off and do big things as well as yourself? Like, do you, you know, like it, did you sort of know that you guys had the stuff back then, you know?
I know everybody had a desire or whatever. And sometimes you feed on what the audience tells you, you know, how they go, yeah, you're this, you're that. So you know, but it's you know, like I had to go away for a year for Gulf War, the first Desert Storm. And I got back and it seems like everybody just zoomed out on me. You know, they moved to New York. There's another guy named Warren Hutchison, him and Dave and moved to New York, and just things were just popping for a lot of guys. And I think I took the road less traveled. I started doing international stuff, a lot of stuff. Not on cruise ships. I mean, actual, and not USO shows, just actual shows. I got, you know, did the, what's the name of it, the Edinburgh Festival. And from there, I got hooked up with doing a whole bunch of stuff in the United Kingdom and Australia and Germany. Where else? Lots of places, all over Canada. Whereas I probably should have just headed straight to Los Angeles.
why do you say that? You mean just career-wise, you would have met more people? Or, you got to see the world, though.
I got to see the world, but just imagine you get a hit TV show, become an action hero like I wanted to be, and I could have just went there on vacation. But then again, I wouldn't have been able to experience it as a regular guy. I would have been as a celebrity guy with a staff and all that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's
but a who's, double-edged. But who says? There's yeah, right, it's a double-edged sword.
It could still happen.
Mm-hmm. It could still, yeah, it's never too late. Look at Liam Neeson.
Yeah, exactly. He's doing Taken and, you know, kicking ass. You could do it too.
He still could be an action hero, baby. I'm ready.
Exactly. Now, what can we expect? Actually, before we move to the Birchmere, I want to unpack what you said. You said you left for Desert Storm. Did you serve, or you mean you were doing comedy over there?
No, dude. I had a uniform on and everything, baby. Yeah, I did serve. Yes, I did.
Well, thanks for your service, which I know is the cliche thing to say, but thanks anyway. What did you, you know, unpack that a little. A lot of people probably don't even know that you're a veteran as well. You know, how do you think that helped shape you?
I don't know. I don't tell them about it either. But I do like it when people go, really? Like sometimes I have my dog tags on my keychain.
Right.
And people go, oh, yeah. And like I remember this girl said, oh, I had one of those one time. What does yours say? I says, well, it's got my name and my blood type and my religion, my birthday. And she says, why does it say that? And that's what all dog tags have on them. And then that's when she found out, after knowing each other for, I forgot how long. And then she said, She'd gone to my mom's house and she saw the picture of me up, you know, the picture you take in boot camp.
Yeah.
She thought it was just you know how people take pictures with cowboy stuff on. Like, yeah. You know, like you go to an amusement park and you take a picture as the outlaw family.
Yeah, exactly. She thought it was just staged.
Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Now, where were you actually stationed at? And, you know, what was the exact time period you the point?
It was 89 and 91, to not a full 2 years.
Okay.
But, yeah, it was the latter part of 89, the whole 90, and the first part of 91. But that was for the... Because I had done active duty before that. So when I got out, I was just in the ready reserves. And I was like, wow, this is easy money. Until they said, guess what, dog? It's time to pay the piper, fool. So yeah, I was, I was in Pendleton, Camp Pendleton out in California. But that was like training and stuff like that. And then Camp Lejeune, Cherry Point. And then a place called Bahrain. You ever heard of Bahrain? It's the Paris of the Middle East, they say. That's what they say. and back and forth to Cuba and some other places, you know. But like we were actually stationed in Bahrain, because I was in the Navy, but I wasn't with, I wasn't like on a ship or nothing. I was with Marine units, you know. So I was a corpsman for the Marines.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah, so even though I was Navy, I did my time as a grunt. But it shapes you and makes you and helps you. It's, you know, it's not what you do, it's what you do with it.
How do you say it shapes you? You know, elaborate a little bit for T.O.P.
Okay. It shapes you, helps you, you know, everything that you experience in life, you know, you go through it, and some people come out of the other end bitter and crumbled up and mad and mean. And then some people come out an actual better person because they learn to roll with the punches and adapt, you know, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, before we run, you know, bring it full circle back to the, you know, the stand-up show at the Birchmere.
I forgot this was all about that. I'm sorry.
Well, it's all right. We talked about the difference between Aspen Hill and Silver Spring, and then we talked about Archibalds, and now in the Middle East, we're covering it all. But, you know, at the Birchmere, we've been through 5 months of hell in this country with the virus and, you know, racial protests, and now we got an election coming up. I mean, what sort of, do you tackle all that stuff in the routine? I don't want you to spoil any punchlines, but
yeah, you know what? I didn't before, because I just talk about stuff that's funny and relative, but I don't come out there. I'm not like a Jon Stewart or a Trevor Noah, where I come out there just to talk about that. If it comes up, it comes up, but I don't, you know, and everything in between. But I don't go out and go, Trump said this, or I don't do that. I just, if it comes up, it comes up. You know, like in the UK, a lot of the comedians over there like to tell important jokes, important material, you know. And I've never been one to focus on important. I focus more on funny and relative, like what's relative to you. And right now, what's relative is important as well. You can't escape by a lot of it. So I guess this time will be the most political material that I've ever had. But I don't think it's, my material's not, it'll be more social. It'll be more on the social climate than the political climate, you know.
Right.
Which seem to be combining themselves these days.
That's a good point. You're saying your material is usually social stuff, or, you know, stuff that goes on in everyday life that people relate to. But now you're right. I mean, everyday life has been, oops, sorry, let me turn this alarm off. Everyday life has been pretty much shut down by the political. So now it's converged, like you're saying.
Yeah, it's all one. 2020, even vision in both eyes, baby.
Exactly. It's so true. Well, like, so what, like, social everyday topics then are you going to get into? Do you, like, you know what I mean? Like, again, I don't want you to spoil the punchlines, but, like, what themes are we going in? What topics do we go?
I have no idea.
You're writing up the jokes?
No, I never did write jokes. A lot of other comedians go, I know you wrote some excellent material during the pandemic. I'm like, I didn't write before this, so. What will make you think? Yeah, because everything I do is a reflection. My material is a reflection. I don't sit down, and you don't give me a subject and go, and I write jokes about it. I have to actually do it, or have done it, or experienced it, because I don't like, you know. And sometimes I'm so well versed in something else that I can bullshit you about this or that. But you know, yeah. So. I don't go in, and I don't think any comedian would tell you what they're going to see. That's why a guy like Jon Stewart or a guy like Trevor Noah, like, you know, this guy's going to talk about Republicans, Democrats, and this and that. You know it already, right? But with me, who's just talking, you don't know what you're going to get, but you know it's going to be good. That's why you bought a ticket. That's why you're in line. That's why you're listening to this interview that I keep forgetting.
Well, you know it's going to be
the funny. Subject, man. Yeah, you know it's going to be funny, yeah.
No, it's been great, and I appreciate, you know, all the little side stories and tangents, and then we bring it back around. I love it. I've really enjoyed talking with you. So, but you've been generous with your time. We won't keep you any longer, but just remind everybody, it's Tony Woods at the Birchmere on August 29th. Thanks so much for making this happen.
And so you're going to edit this down to keep it down to the funny parts of the interview. So it'll be like about a 2-minute interview, right? And that long.
T.O.P. keeps me, you know, it is pretty quick hit stuff on the radio. So yeah, I'll pull the highlights and, you know, produce it up. But I'll post the full thing online and write up a whole
article. I'm good.
Transcribe it and, you know, give you the whole works. So it'll be good.
All right. I don't need it. I mean, I know me. I already know what happened to me.
It's for the people, though. I'm relaying it to the people. You know, to the people. Don't.
I know, because you're at the top of the news channel. WTOP.
Exactly.
AM 1500. Okay, man.
Hey, thanks so much, Tony. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason. No, thank you for being patient, brother. All right. I'll see you all at the Birchmere on the 29th. This is your friend, Tony Woods.